Good morning. My name is Kevin Lotz, and this is Abigail Weiner. Today, we'll be discussing the Steps of Safety program and its preliminary outcomes, which address the impact of enhanced services around trauma and housing readiness on this population. I am one of the two lead social workers coordinating the intervention, and Abigail was our evaluation project coordinator for the first 2 years of the grant. As for disclosures, neither Abigail nor I have any relationships to disclose. First, we would like to provide a brief background of Palladia and the New York Academy of Medicine. Palladia is one of the largest not-for-profit multi-service agencies of its kind in New York City. Palladia is over 40 years old and has 31 distinct programs. Palladia primarily serves urban, low-income people of color. Our range of services focuses on substance abuse, homelessness, HIV, mental illness, trauma, domestic violence, criminal justice, and family services. Palladia delivers the clinical services, administers, and oversees the Steps to Safety project. The mission of the New York Academy of Medicine is to advance the health of people in cities. NIAM is over 163 years old. Palladia and NIAM are collaborative partners on several different projects, of which the Steps to Safety project is one. For the Steps to Safety project, NIAM's Center for Evaluation has a team of researchers and analysts that coordinates and carries out the evaluation for this project. The Steps to Safety project is carried out concurrently in two distinct Palladia programs and takes place in both residential and outpatient substance abuse treatment settings. Participation is voluntary. Clients are screened, assessed, and enrolled, if eligible, upon admission. We enroll 72 clients each project year at our residential program and 36 clients per year in our outpatient program for a total of 108 per year. We expect to have enrolled 468 clients by the end of the fifth year of the project. The Steps to Safety project is designed to serve men with co-occurring homelessness, trauma, and substance abuse or dependence. Examples of traumatic experiences vary, but some significant trends the participants report include extensive community violence, incarceration, physical, sexual abuse, and or having been shot or stabbed. The majority report past and or current extensive involvement in a criminal justice system, periods of incarceration ranging from 1 to 40 years, and periods of probation or parole ranging from a few years to life. The Steps to Safety project is a supplemental integrated voluntary treatment system. Goals include reducing trauma and substance abuse symptoms, addressing homelessness, and enhancing coping skills. The project consists of two distinct yet connected 12-week groups administered in two parts, first seeking safety and then seeking housing. Regarding the utilization of evidence-based practices, our seeking safety groups are based on the book and treatment manual by Dr. Lisa Najavitz. We also had the opportunity to participate in trainings and consultation with her on the delivery of seeking safety services. And motivational interviewing is employed in both individual and group sessions. Part one of the project is the Seeking Safety Group, which is a trauma-specific intervention emphasizing personal safety. Nearly all group participants report this is the first time in their lives they've ever participated in any sort of trauma-specific intervention or received services to specifically address the traumas they've experienced. The focus on healthy relationships is always of particular interest to group participants. Many cite extensive difficulty with relationships in the past and discuss the lack of modeling of healthy relationships in their families. And group sessions also emphasize coping skills, self-awareness, and relapse prevention. Part two of the project is the Seeking Housing Group, which promotes housing readiness, preparation, and opportunities. Skills are presented to improve levels of time, money management, and budgeting. Resources to expand health and community support are provided. Participants are prepared to respond to crises before they occur. This group does not just discuss securing housing, but also how to sustain stable housing. For example, like what to do in the event of a psychiatric emergency or how to access emergency rental assistance if needed. There are some common features of both the Seeking Safety and Seeking Housing groups. Both are facilitated by experienced social workers and feature psychoeducation and peer support. Each group has no more than 12 to 15 participants. This is substantially smaller to other groups participants report having attended and remains one of the most consistently praised aspects of the program. Maintaining privacy and confidentiality is paramount in both groups. Close attention is also given to group room design to ensure the milieu contributes to establishing a sense of safety. My colleague Abigail will now discuss the preliminary outcomes of the Steps of Safety program evaluation.
Thanks, Kevin. The Steps of Safety program evaluation consists of two parts. There are the more quantitative interviews with clients and a set of yearly qualitative interviews with clients and staff to contextualize the findings. Study participants are assessed at baseline and approximately 6 months post-baseline. In practice, this ranges from about 4 months post-baseline to 8 months post-baseline due to the SAMHSA regulations. On occasion, participants are also present for discharge from service interviews, in which case we gather more data. The analyses I'm about to present are based on baseline and six-month interviews only. One more thing. We use a multitude of instruments, many of which were already part of treatment practices at Palladia's sites. The trauma assessment listed here includes the brief symptom inventory, the post-traumatic diagnostic scale, some other measures of trauma and coping skills. We gather information on participants' sociodemographics, as well as all of the dimensions addressed by the intervention that Kevin just laid out. The independent living plan that you see here also includes housing history, current and past housing applications for things like supportive housing and Section 8 rental assistance, a survey of the kinds of identification that people possess and what kind of identification they need to get in order to get housing, lists of entitlements and entitlement applications, and other income. So our sample, as of the end of the third quarter of the second year of this grant, was 188 clients. The mean age of our participants was 37.5. Just over half were African American. Just less than half had not received a high school diploma or a GED. And nearly 95% were unemployed in the 30 days prior to entry. Two-thirds of our participants are in residential treatment and one-third are in outpatient. Drug and alcohol use. Alcohol is the most commonly abused substance among our population, with about 34%. 20% of clients have used alcohol and drugs on the same day in the last 30 days, and there are very minimal reports of injected drug use. These questions and others on the SAMHSA Government Performance and Results Act client outcomes tool are parts and subscales of the Addiction Severity Index, the ASI. In the past 30 days, not due to their use of alcohol or drugs, about 56% of our clients have experienced serious depression, and about almost the same number, about 53%, have experienced serious anxiety or tension. About 31% are on prescribed medication for psychological or emotional reasons when they come into treatment. And as Kevin said, as an enrollment criterion, all of our participants have a history of trauma. The most common experiences of trauma include assault with a weapon, physical assault, and the sudden unexpected death of someone close to them. Housing at baseline. Approximately one-third of our participants come directly from incarceration, though, as Kevin said, the majority have experienced incarceration at some point in their lives. Just 4% of those housed are coming from their own home or apartment or something they've self-identified as their own home. Most of our participants are doubled up or living in shelters. And about 10% are coming from other residential treatment and then out of residential treatment and back in. Housing at six-month follow-up. So we've kind of flipped the graph around. That was the different types of housing status, and this graph is just of those who are housed. 95% of our participants are housed at follow-up. The other 5% are in shelters. And of those housed, 30% or 53 people are in residential treatment still at 6 months, whether that is continuing at the Star Hill site of Palladia or at some other residential treatment site. Follow-up drug and alcohol use. All drug and alcohol use was reduced significantly. Everything that we've measured. And health outcomes. So the sample size in some of these cells is too small for statistical analysis, but the general trend shows a moving towards excellent. There are twice as many folks who report excellent health at 6 months as opposed to at baseline. And mental health outcomes, 55% reduction in serious depression and 53% reduction in serious anxiety and tension. And this is, we're feeling really good about this in general. And as for coping and survival skills, there have been significant decreases in some negative coping skills, such as using drugs, as one would hope with substance abuse treatment, and spacing out or leaving your body, which are measures of dissociation. So those have gone down significantly. We're also keeping an eye on increases in positive coping skills, which have increased by marginal amounts. You can see there's a few up there, such as writing and talking to someone you trust. As for satisfaction and retention, participants are overwhelmingly satisfied. And as Kevin said, with the small group structure, with the addressing trauma as part of their addiction, participants are very happy with the program. We do 10 client interviews a year, long, in-depth qualitative interviews, as well as satisfaction surveys of every participant while they're in the group. It was interesting to find that the correlation between PTSD and addiction, this group helped me realize different strategies for staying clean and sober. That's really exciting. Participants in Steps to Safety have a 10% higher 90-day retention rate in substance abuse treatment compared to a similar population in residential treatment. Those who were eligible to participate in Steps to Safety but chose not to. These data are current as of the third quarter of the second year. Data not included in this analysis, which is the fourth quarter, include a much higher rate of retention. So, Steps to Safety has resulted in reduced substance use rates, improved coping skills, improved mental health status, and improved client retention. And as one might expect, the longer that participants were in the intervention, the better their self-reported outcomes. As our research design lacks a control group, we can't differentiate between the impact of Steps to Safety and the impact of Palladia's substance abuse treatment and their standard of care. However, as we noted in the last slide, the retention rate of participants has increased by 10%, and this can be considered an accomplishment in and of itself. It's been shown that clients who complete their course of treatment have much better outcomes than those who do not. These preliminary results suggest that enhanced substance abuse treatment services around trauma and trauma-informed treatment in the agency as a whole, as well as addressing housing readiness, improve substance abuse treatment outcomes. The next steps for Steps to Safety are the expansion of Seeking Safety and Seeking Housing services to other Palladia treatment sites, creating an ongoing peer housing educator role for completers of the program, using the folks who've completed the Seeking Housing program who are still in residential treatment to relay this information and help other clients who are not receiving these services. One of the things that Kevin has noticed over and over again is that folks who are not in the Seeking Housing group specifically really want this information, and it kind of trickles out in that really intense environment that is residential substance abuse treatment, and folks really want this information, so they're working on right now developing a system of peer education. Also, they want to utilize the project to advance the goal of expanding trauma-informed treatment services throughout Palladia's services, which are broader than substance abuse treatment and includes domestic violence shelters and other things. And finally, we would like to thank our funders, SAMHSA, and specifically the Center for Substance Abuse Treatment, who have provided the funding and copious amounts of technical assistance. The Steps to Safety Project Advisory Committee, including staff from Palladia, the New York Academy of Medicine, community leaders, experts, and current and former participants, and particularly the Steps to Safety Project participants who took part in the evaluation. Also, Lisa Najewitz for her extensive consultation. Questions? Yes?
Is the long-term residential program abstinence only?
Is the long-term residential program abstinence only?
No.
That's the short answer. Yes?
I have a couple questions. I'm curious how you're defining trauma. And then also, can you talk about your success of placing people in housing? 95% seems incredibly high to me. I'm curious how you accomplish that.
Sure, I can address the trauma measures. We are looking for folks who have what is diagnosed in the motivational interviewing session as kind of an experience and a history of trauma, confirmed by the trauma assessment that goes through a battery of symptoms and of experiences. And I believe the criteria is 3 or more traumatic experiences and or significant symptoms that could be attributed to post-traumatic stress disorder.
That also includes the inpatient. You're also including people who are inpatient, right, at the residential clinic.
Sorry, at baseline.
They're not still inpatient.
No, they've left treatment and come to Star Hill. So they may have been in treatment in the last 30 days, but
no,
they're.
I meant for her question about.
Oh, sorry.
The number house.
Oh, the number house. Yes, 50. So Kevin can address this best, probably.
Okay. There's a lot of different reasons why the number of people housed is so high. One of which is we have a very large team of social workers, about 12 to 15, and we all sort of help and assist in filling out the applications. We have had a housing specialist at one point that was full-time employed in order to help kind of process all the applications. Another reason is because it's long-term residential treatment. We have the luxury of 12 to 18 months to actually put out multiple applications, and then once they're rejected, which they inevitably always are, reapply. And then also network with other providers in order to kind of collaborate to kind of expedite the applications.
That's my question. So at 6 months, people can still be housed within the Palladia?
Yes, within the residential treatment.
And approximately 30% are.
Right. So of that 95%,
30% are in treatment.
And then half of the, or one-third of the participants in the Steps of Safety Project are in outpatient treatment. So that's a completely different ballgame.
Any other questions?
Are you guys thinking of using a comparator? I mean, I think it's really a great result. I'm just curious if you're thinking of adding some sort of comparison group.
One of the obstacles that we've discussed with the control, with trying the fact that we lack a control group, is as social workers and as licensed providers, once we become aware that a person has trauma symptoms, ethically we can't not treat them. So it's been impossible, really, to sort of identify people that don't have trauma in order to kind of utilize as a control group.
Okay. I'm actually curious, what's your relationship to the housing authority in that area? I mean, do you guys get a lot of assistance directly from them, or do you guys have to go to permanent supportive groups directly?
The question was about the housing authority. I'm assuming you mean the New York City Housing Authority. We get no assistance from the New York City Housing Authority itself. Kind of one of the most generic default actions for all participants is to fill out what they call a NYCHA, New York City Housing Application. However, most may know the waiting list can be 3 to 10 years. So, but some have won the lottery.
Just a quick suggestion as a fellow social work researcher. One thing that commonly can be done is a waitlist condition. So everyone gets the treatment, and the waitlist is the comparison. So at the end, they're all done. That's a very standard methodology for those of us who agree with you.
A great suggestion. Thank you.
All right, thank you.